Amen. Amen. Man, can y'all believe it is 2024? Wow. Unbelievable. Hey, who has a word of testimony? Just something you want to praise the Lord for real quick. Anybody? Before I get into a quick Bible study right here. Tamara, what you got? What do you want? He's kicking?
She's kicking.
Oh, it's got a little spunk, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. When you start feeling that, you know, you feel that life. And it's so exciting. We're so excited. What's your due date?
May the 1st.
Man, I'm just praising the Lord. You don't have to be like in your eighth or ninth month, like in June or July.
Yeah. It'll be
hot. Woo. I know Adriana was born in July, and Christy was 9 months pregnant in the Florida July heat. And I felt so bad for her. Anyway, Brother Trinidad.
I'm still kicking.
You're still kicking. Woo! The road warrior. Yes. Man, I tell you, you probably got a busy year ahead of you with a lot of deliveries and mileage on that beautiful truck. And I'm so excited for you and happy that the Lord's provided and for your ministry, as he always has. You know, I've heard testimony after testimony from you, but I'm glad you're still kicking, man. Still kicking them miles. I call him the road warrior. Always out there on the road delivering the word of God to wherever it needs to be delivered. Who else has got a word of testimony? Right over here, Brother Travis.
My wife didn't kick me.
She didn't kick you? Oh, boy. God's grace is amazing. And a bunch
of new life in our
family. Amen. It's so good to see y'all and happy to hear that. Miss Darlene, I saw your hand.
I got a new great-grandbaby.
I saw that. A new great-grandbaby. I bet you are... You've got to hold him yet?
No.
Oh, I bet you are literally going crazy. What's the plan? When's it going
to
happen?
A couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks. Good idea. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this new grandbaby.
Her name's Luna Hill. Sean is back in Norfolk, Virginia, though. But I did get to see him before she had the baby.
Yeah. That's exciting, man. I'm so happy for you. How many does this make for you?
First great.
Now, see, my grandmother always said, when people asked her how many of her grandchildren were great, she said, every one of them. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? There's always that one. That one that keeps them all humble, amen. Keeps the family humble. Oh, my. Well, that's great. I'm so happy. It's your first great-grandchild. And so what a blessing. What a way to start the new year out. Yes. Who else? Something over here. Yes, Brother John.
Two great blessings.
Yes.
First off, we're expecting...
Woo! Woo! Oh, I'm so glad you finally told people. I've been carrying this. I'm wore out. Oh, I did good.
The second blessing is...
I feel relief. Yeah.
And accepted that. So
nice.
It starts on the 16th, and it's remote, so we get to stay home together and raise our child.
Man, I'm so happy about that. What a blessing. God's timing is always right on time, isn't it? That is such a great thing, man. Two great praises, and I'm so happy when y'all told me that news, and I told you I wasn't even going to tell Christy until you had a chance to tell her. So about a week later, you told her. And I wanted to tell her so bad, like, because it was such good news. We've been praying for y'all. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Congratulations on both things. And we're so excited to see all these new babies coming, all these new future little Baptists coming into our church, little baby Baptists. And we're going to have some good times in the near Mother's Day. Baby dedications are going to be great. Kristen, I see your hand.
I want to praise the Lord that he really helped bless our business this year.
Yes. Yeah, it's been amazing watching your business grow. I know when you became secretary, you had just gotten all that started, and I've just watched it grow and grow and include more and more things. And I've been so happy for you. I know it's a great blessing to y'all. And if you tell us how people in here that don't know about it, tell us just, how do they find it? Where do they go to find it?
It's
So it's an Etsy business, but she does all kinds of really neat stuff. You need to see her about it. If you need anything custom made for a family member or something for Christmas or birthday, really good stuff, really good stuff. Amen, amen. Right here, Brother Oscar. Right. So he kicked it, man. He put it behind him. Good news, good news, good news. That's good news, man. We're going to have prayer time in a little bit at the end, but it's just good to have praise time sometimes, you know. All the things God's already doing. I'll take a few more, then I'll get into this Bible study. Man, look at all the hands. So much good going on here. Brother J.D.
Marty went through 4 hours of testing today, and we've got good results back from her brain situation mm-hmm. right now. So it's moving positive for her.
Yes. Yes. I was so glad to hear the positive report today. And I know that's been heavy on her mind, but it gave her some peace of mind. And that's good. The year's off to a good start that way. That's been real, really perplexing for her. All righty, I saw other hands. I don't want to leave anybody out. We want to hear the praises. Who else? Right here. What's your praise? Give us your praise tonight.
Alvin and I, we went to Mexico to visit my family.
Yeah.
Seventy. We all got together under one roof, and it was a blessing. It was amazing. Some of the cousins got to fellowship with the other cousins, you know, and it's this is amazing.
Awesome.
And then we went to, in the middle of the week after the 24th, we went to Alabama to see my other brother, and of course he had got hurt and his job, so that was our trip over there, but it was amazing also. He's doing great, and he's doing his prayers. But it was amazing, and it was a blessing all over, you know, because I got to fellowship with all my family members.
Yeah. Man, that's huge. 70 people in Mexico, then you went up to Alabama.
And
wow. I bet that was a sweet time, a sweet time. Probably people you haven't seen in a while, and a reunion, basically, yeah. Nice, nice. Holidays bring people together like that. Love it, love it. I saw other hands over here. Miss Christie. All boys.
All four. And also, although I miss my Savannah and Bryce, God is just taking care of them.
Yeah.
They've had so many blessings.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
That just touches this mama's heart. That God is just protecting them, and they're having a church family, a new family right there in the military, and all the deep blessings they've had.
Yeah, and you forgot the most important thing. You got to spend yesterday on a day date with this wonderful husband. I thought that was what you were raising your hand for. I got to spend a whole day with my husband, and we went out. Didn't make the list at all, did it? Oh, I'm messing with you. Oh, yes, but everything you just said, though, we're so happy about how God has been blessing Savannah and Bryce and all the joy they're having. And then just my mom and dad have 4 great-grandchildren, all born within 3 months of each other, all 4 of them boys. And so they're already anticipating the basketball team that will come out of that one day, I'm sure. All my nephews, all 4 of my sister, all 4 of her kids had another child, and all 4 of them had boys. And so there's boom, boom, boom right there. So really a great joy. Now, I think I saw one more hand over here. Did I see one more hand in this section? Did I leave anybody? Yes, Brother Robert. Brother Roberts. Say it again.
When my sister got sick at the end of the day,
I
missed it. The EMS came out. They tended her. They done an IV on her. They done the blood pressure on her. They done an EKG. When it comes time to pay, there's no charge.
Really? Well.
And one of the guys even bought an assignment in a so.
Well. That's nice. I wondered. I heard the prayer line about your niece, and they were at the airport, and she couldn't fly. Your sister. Okay, your sister. She did end up getting to fly?
No.
Okay, so she's still there.
Okay.
Okay, well. Okay, all right. But there were some blessings that came out of that, it sounds like, and always good. Always, there's always things to be down about, but there's always things to shout about too. All righty, man. Let's get into some scripture here. I'm going to break from the series I've been in on the lifetimes and teachings of Jesus. We'll be picking that back up next Wednesday night. But we're going to go into just something that's, once again, what I call teaching out of the overflow. It's just something that God gave me in a devotion that I had, and I've just scratched it in the margin of my Bible, some thoughts that have leapt out of this beautiful psalm here. It's a kind of a heavy psalm, but like all psalms, that ends up in the right place. And this is one written by the hand of David. The history of this psalm, before we read it, is David wrote this right after his own son, Absalom, tried to overthrow him, kill him, and take his throne. So you can imagine all that. If you know that story recorded in the Old Testament, it's a very sad story. And David emerged from it victorious in one way, but a huge loss in the other. As you know the story, Absalom ends up dying in this thing. He ends up being killed in the coup attempt over his father's throne. But David writes this psalm, and you're going to notice that he's got a very heavy heart. But then what he does to try to bring himself out of it. So let's look at this really quickly here. Psalms 143, verse 1, it says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications, and thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." We see him there start off the psalm as a prayer. He is writing a song about this prayer that he has. And so this prayer inspires him to write a song. If you look at verse number 7, he goes back to this. He says, "Hear me speedily, O Lord." So we see that David needs to get a hold of God. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give me your ear. Answer me." And then in verse 7, he says, "Lord, I need something quickly from you. I'm in great peril. I'm in great distress." Boy, I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life where you just needed to hear from God. You just needed to feel God's presence. You just needed to feel that his attention is on you. Some of you parents can remember as a child going up to your mom and saying, "Mom, Mom." And maybe your mom was watching her favorite TV program or something, and you're like, "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mom." And after about the 30th time, she goes, "What?" You know, there's times that you just feel that you need their attention, and sometimes you just feel that you're not getting it. David is saying, "God, I need you to hear me. God, I need you to turn your ear to me. God, I need some help from you, and I need it fast." So we see here that this is a prayer. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications." The word supplications means my needs, my needs. He says, "God, I've got some needs. I need you to turn your ear to me. I need to know that you're hearing me." And he is saying, you know, "Father, Father, Father, Father." He wants God's attention. And he says that this is a matter of great urgency. "I need you to hear me and answer me speedily. I need something fast. I need you to do something." Now verse 2. "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Now, that's one of those verses I've had to really think about it. I'm going to read it again. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. I think he's talking about the perfectedness of God, the greatness of God compared to man. And he knows that compared to man, there's no man that can ever be just or no man that could ever feel perfect or justified. But it's one of those verses that I've had to really meditate upon, and I'm not quite settled on exactly what David is saying there, but that's kind of what I get from it. I feel like he is saying that compared to God, there's no just man on this earth. Now, verse 3, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Notice this in verse 3, "For the enemy." If you have your pen, underline the word enemy. "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul." Now, we see that David had some very real physical enemies. Unfortunately for David, the enemy was his own son. His own son, his own flesh and blood is the enemy that he's talking about here. And the people that gathered around him to try to overthrow David and literally kill David. I can't even imagine the hurt, the betrayal, the sadness. David had a lot of issues in his home, but David greatly loved his children. And he grieved and he buried a lot of sons. If you know the story of David, he wept more than once over the loss of a child. But in this case, when he mentions the enemy. But you know, you and I have an enemy. Who is that enemy?
Satan.
And Satan is all of our enemies. And you know, one thing I gather from this, it says, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." We see this enemy, this enemy lives to bring you down. And you know what I wrote in the margin of my Bible here? Satan wants you to be depressed, defeated, full of despair, living in darkness. Is that the truth? Is it true that that the devil wants you to be down, depressed? Is it true that your enemy does everything he can do to make you feel like you're in darkness? We're children of the light, but our enemy wants us to dwell in darkness, despair, a pit of despair. Our enemy wants us to regularly feel the defeat of depression. And it is my opinion, after working with people for years in the church, that the devil has succeeded in keeping many people down because he has had control over their spirit. He has been able to access through their emotions and control how they feel. Beloved, listen to me. Depression is not of the Holy Spirit unless it is of a conviction nature. If you're depressed, and I'll get to that toward the end, the devil wants you to be down. He wants to keep you down. He wants to steal your joy. He wants you to feel helpless and hopeless, and he wants to steal any joy that is in your life. And that is not of the Holy Spirit. That darkness that you regularly feel in your life is an attack. It is a supernatural, demonic attack where a demonic spirit is trying to access your spirit to bring you into a dark place. When you study demon possession, you'll find that it's always hand in hand with severe depression. Even, if I can be so bold, suicide. Whenever you study in the Bible, people that were dealing with evil spirits in possession, they would cut themselves, hurt themselves. We read of the young man that dwelt in the tombs, and he was obsessed with death and darkness. And he cried. The Bible says that he cried all day. That's that darkness that we're talking about here. And while we know that a child of God cannot suffer from demon possession, we are very susceptible to demonic oppression. And that oppression, there is a goal that our enemy has, and that goal is to make you feel sad as much as he can. Because sadness comes with a lot of questions. Sadness comes with a lack of faith. Sadness comes with a lot of anger. Sadness comes with a lot of despair. And our enemy wants us to dwell in the darkness of despair. And he's going to do everything he can to interject into your mind things to make you sad, interject into your mind memories that make you feel sad and full of regret. And we see this, and we need to understand where a lot of this is coming from. We have an enemy that likes to access our spirit, and in that, he wants to make us depressed. And we've all dealt with it. We all deal with it. Everybody in this room will have to do battle with the enemy to control your spirit. But he wants to bring you down. A depressed church member is often a church member who doesn't come to church. A depressed church member is often a church member who doesn't enjoy singing the praises of God. A depressed church member is often a church member who is avoiding the presences of God and the things that deal with God. So the devil has a goal in mind, and our enemy wants to persecute us through our spirit. And I've seen it over and over and over again. Now notice this. In verse 4, David goes on to write, "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." It's empty. He is saying the enemy has persecuted my soul. Now my spirit is overwhelmed, and I'm just feeling empty. Boy, I think we've all felt that. I think everybody in this room can relate to what David is writing there after being attacked by the enemy in our spirit. The devil loves to leave you broken and full of doubt and depression and despair. Now notice this in verse 5. We see David in this mode of being desolate and overwhelmed and having a spiritual attack going on in his life that is bringing depression. We see this in verse 5. He says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Now, we see here that David, in his depression, is doing a lot of remembering. Now, in this, he's thinking about all the things that God has done, and he's trying to motivate himself in the past of the victories he's had through the hand of God. But I want to caution you about this. When people are in a pit of despair, one of the problems they have is they begin to remember a lot of things. You start to play back your life. People that are in depression spend a lot of time thinking about yesterday. Is that true?
Yeah.
Depression always looks back. It always looks back. And when it looks back, there's some things that are dangerous here. It can look back. Number one, it can look back and long for things that cannot be relived. It can look back and long for things that cannot be removed. And it can look back and long for things that cannot be returned. And you got to be careful when you're in the pit of despair, when you get into that place where you start remembering the days of old. Sometimes you don't remember them in the accuracy that they really were. Sometimes you remember bad days as being a little bit better. And the devil can use that on you. Sometimes that sinner that came out of sin, got into church, and is doing right and forsaking sin in his life can start to have a period of time where he's going through a depression that's brought on by the enemy. And then in that depression, he can start remembering the days of his old life. You know, the days that he spent in the bars and the days of dealing with drugs or the days of living a life where he was pursuing things that were not godly. And sometimes that can create, in that looking back, a longing for that. And I've seen it happen. We have to be careful during these times of despair that when we're looking back, we look back with accuracy. David, in this case, looks back and he thinks about what the Lord had done in his life, and that's the correct way to look back. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Number 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Boy, David has got a thirst for the Lord. He needs the Lord to hear him. He needs the Lord to be involved in all this. He's thirsty. He's desperate. Then verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the mornings, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me. The word quicken means make me alive. Make me alive. Bring life back to me. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Now, verse 7, he talks about he'll be like those that go down into the pit. He's referring to these pits of emotions, the pits of pity and sadness and regrets, that pit of covetousness, longing for something that we can't have or shouldn't have, that shame that can often be a part of that horrible pit. David says, I don't want to be like one of those that has slid into this pit of emotional devastation. And boy, there's a lot of people. Again, the old devil wants to put you in a pit. He wants to put you in a place where you feel hopeless and dark and helpless. And David says, I don't want to slide into this pit. He says, I need you to help me and cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. And he says, God, I need you. Now, we see that in this, David knows where to go. He knows that God is the answer. And I want to suggest to you that God is always the answer. In God, we find the answer for the enemy's attack in our spirit. In God, we find his grace. His grace brings us joy. That's that loving kindness that David is talking about there. David knows that life isn't good, but he knows that the grace of God can get him through this. He says, God, I want to hear thy loving kindness. I want to feel your loving kindness. In God, we have his grace. In God, we have his goodness. In God, we have his greatness. And in God, most importantly, we have his guidance. When you're in that pit of despair, we have the power of God to help guide us out of it. And David is going to God, and he says, God, I need your help. My spirit is overwhelmed. I'm feeling empty. I need help. And he goes to God. He knows that God is always the answer to this. And he sees in God's grace and his goodness and his greatness and in his guidance, this is the solution. This is the remedy. This is going to get me out of what the enemy has tried to put me into. You know, we see these three things, if I can kind of sum it up, Psalms 143. We see that, first of all, David has an in look. David takes an in look, and he sees that he's got a lot of sadness and depression and despair. You ever notice, when you stop and really notice, you never really feel good? Anybody with me on that? How many of you, if you really stop and concentrate, there's some part of your body that's hurting right now? You ever notice that? I mean, if you stop and concentrate on it, it might be your toe, your knee. You might, you know, have your neck sore. But, I mean, if you really stop and look, you start looking inside, there's always something troubling. When we look in, when we start looking inward, it's usually a pretty dark look. It's a pretty dark place. When we start looking inside, we start to see all of our problems and all of our issues and all of our shortcomings and fallacies, and that in look can be very depressing. David starts off very depressed, but he's taking an in look. He's looking inside the way he feels and concentrating on how he feels. And so we see that. And so David is taking that in look. And it's always heavy when we do that in look. Then we see about midway through, he takes an outlook. He starts to look outwards, and he starts to look for the answer. Of course, he goes to God for that answer. Then we see a third thing that leapt out at me here. David finally finds victory when he gets an upward look. The in look made him feel down. The outlook wasn't a whole lot better. The outlook includes all the what ifs and what could happen. You know what I'm saying? Then he gets this upward look. He starts looking upward to God. Amen. And when he starts looking upward to God, then he starts praising and seeing that there's an answer here and that God's going to show me his loving kindness, and I'm going to end up praising the Lord. David finds an answer, not in the in look, not a whole lot in the outlook, but when he goes to the upward look, then he finds some peace in his life. Now, let me conclude with all this. All this that I'm saying is all just expository, things that came out of the scriptures as I read it, things that I wrote in the margin of the Bible, just verse by verse, the thoughts that came out of it. But how does it apply? How does this apply? You know, this is the time of year, midwinter. Ironically, October, November, December, January, February are considered to be the most depressing times of the year, which is odd because it contains the holiday time. And yet, that is when people are the most sick. How many of you have been praying a lot for people that are sick lately? Oh, man, my phone has rung off the hook and texting and the things that every day people are going through things. And, man, this time of the year is a rough time. The sicknesses that abound, and it just seems like the weather changes and the bronchitis and the things that go on. I mean, all these illnesses. Of course, we have COVID to worry about and all these things that are out there. And, boy, people get sick. And it's cold, and it gets dark like at 5 o'clock. I don't know about you, but I really am a true believer in seasonal depression. Yeah. I don't like it when it's dark most of the time. I love those nights where it's daylight till like 10 o'clock in the summer. I'll be out there in the yard doing stuff, and I love it when I come home from work and take an hour-long nap and get up, and the sun is still brightly shining. I get home from work a lot of times driving home in the dark. I drive to work sometimes, it's dark. I get home, and it's dark. Hey, I'm not a big fan of the darkness and the cold and that wet feeling. And there's a lot of people that have what is called seasonal depression. Of course, there's a lot of people that the reality that this time of the year, there are many people that succumb to illnesses, and there are always a lot of funerals during these months of the year, which a lot of people have, and they remember those things, and it's right there in their family history. So it can be a rough time on people. The sicknesses, the darkness, the hecticness of it. Let's throw this in. How many of you have not eaten very well the last 2 months? You've eaten stuff that you were not supposed to eat. Were you a strict keto-er? Oh, keto. I tried. Brother Mike, I tried. I went to Florida. First 3 days, I went out. I didn't eat the bread. I didn't eat. I had a chicken sandwich with just the chicken. You know, I took the bread and threw it away. That's where I went off the page. I did good until that day. Now, and then it's been a downhill slide ever since.
Yeah, that pizza was that thick.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, when I got done, I was having chest pains, man. I was like, oh, Lord, help me. It needs to come with CPR instructions, I'm sure. I did good until that day. That was the day that I... But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm just being honest. When you don't eat right, it affects your spirit, your mood. Especially when you go try to put on that, you know, new shirt you just got for Christmas, and you can't button it, you know. But I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. I mean, the sugars, the things in it, the things that affect us. But, man, yeah, it'll put people in a, you know, blood pressures go up, and they get, sometimes their blood sugars go crazy. And people get moody and they get depressed. It's a hard time of the year. And I've noted, like on Facebook, I've seen a lot of people doing the Bear Their Soul posts where they're talking about the despairs that they're feeling. And I hate that. And, of course, people pray for them. But a lot of people just being honest. And a lot of them are saved people, born-again people. But that's how they're feeling. They're just being honest that I'm feeling dark and I'm feeling despair. And I've learned that is a reality even in the Christian realm. We get depressed. And sometimes it's so frustrating because you wake up in the morning and for no apparent reason, you can just be very down. You can be full of darkness or despair. I had this Chevrolet Camaro. Back when Christy and I got married, I had a Camaro. And that Camaro had a check engine light that would come on. And I'd see it pop on. I took it to the shop. I had them do every diagnostic they could on it. It was running fine. There was no issues, but the check engine light came on. I took it in. They reset it. I drove it another week. Suddenly it popped back on again. I thought, what in the world? And of course, it's a bright light right there on your dash. Check engine light. Something wrong with your motor. Get it in there before you end up on the side of the road. Well, and if you look at the owner manual, it says if this light comes on, get to the mechanic as soon as possible or get back to the dealer. Well, you know, I had it checked 2 or 3 times, and they would go through it. They couldn't find anything wrong with it. Then they would reset it. A week or so later, it popped right back on. And so for the most of the years that I drove that car, I drove it with a check engine light glaring on the dash. And here's the catch. There was nothing wrong with that car. Nothing that they could find. Nothing that affected the performance. I mean, it was a good car. But it had a check engine light that was constantly, for a while anyway, making me worried that something was wrong with my motor. Listen to me carefully. There are many people who have a faulty check engine light in their emotions. Listen to me. This one thing helped change my life because I struggled with depression as a younger man. I struggled with it big. This one thing helped me finally get victory over it. And I still get it. But I've learned how to deal with it, this one principle. I have learned that there are times that it's appropriate to be down. And I've learned that there are times that it is nothing more than a faulty engine light. And I have learned to evaluate today and ask myself, I'm feeling sad. Why? Well, I just got word that someone passed away last night. Okay, that's why I'm feeling sad. My heart will heal, and I will feel glad in time. Today, I'm going to have to eat it. I'm just going to have to feel it today. Today, I'm feeling dark. Why? Well, there's this problem going on. And until that is worked out, I'm just going to feel dark. But it will work out, and I will feel better. But there are times that I say, why? I'm feeling this anxiety, and I'm feeling like something bad's about to happen, or something bad has happened, or I'm feeling sad, and I'll say to myself, why? And then when I evaluate and conclude that there is no reason to feel sad or dark or depressed, I've learned to do just what I did with that Camaro. I just drive on. I just go on. Don't worry about it. Just drive on. Beloved, you're going to have false engine lights in your spirit. There are chemicals in your body that get out of whack, and it can be as simple as you ate something you shouldn't have ate, and you wake up tomorrow feeling like you just lost a friend. It could be that simple. You've got to learn to discern when the check engine light is meaningful in your spirit and when it is faulty. We all get faulty check engine lights. There are times that you should feel sad. That's having a heart. There are times that you should be upset. Jesus was the best example of anybody who's ever lived at appropriately displaying his emotions at appropriate times. He was mad when he was supposed to be mad, and he was mad on purpose. But he was sad when he was supposed to be sad. He cried at a funeral. A funeral, by the way, that he knew he was about to resurrect the deceased, but he wept. It was the appropriate way to feel in the situation he was in. We have to learn to discern. Am I feeling this way for a reason? Or is it something else? Is it a check engine light? The motor seems to be running fine. There's no reason for it to be telling me that there's something wrong. And then if you conclude that, if you conclude what it is, then understand that it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be sad if you're supposed to be sad. It might be an anniversary of something that is sad. And so that day, you're just going to have to live with it. It's just part of having life, man. You know what I'm saying? It's part of living. You may have the day, this is the day that your grandfather died 2 years ago. You wake up, look on the calendar, and you see that date. And you're just going to have to, that day, spend some time sad. But it's appropriate to be sad. There's nothing wrong with you because you feel sad. But you may wake up tomorrow and be, I don't have any reason to be sad, but I feel sad. Then you got to say, okay, this is just a faulty light. And then you got to work your way out of it and just drive on. Just go on with your life. Go on with your day. Change one thought for another. And realize that you have a good life and everything's fine. There's no reason for me to be upset. And find joy. You see that David, this great man, he dealt with despair. He looked inward and he found sadness. And he looked outward and he found complexity. When he looked upward, he found peace. I hope you'll spend a lot of time this year looking upward. My dad always says, keep looking up because Jesus ain't coming from below. Keep looking up. I don't know if 2024 will be the year that Jesus returns. It very well could be. But I do know this. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to live a joyful life. And God wants you to have a peaceful life. God doesn't want you to live in despair. God wants you to live in peace. But our bodies are full of fallacy. Our bodies break down and our bodies have chemical indifference. And in that reality of mortality, we deal with a lot of things that can sometimes thwart our joy. But there is answers. The next time you feel sad, evaluate it and ask yourself, is there a reason? Is there a source of pain? Is there a cause? If there is, then don't panic over it. Just endure it. Pray your way through it. Look up to the Lord. But if you evaluate it and you say, this is just feelings without reason, then sometimes you got to learn to just dismiss it and go on. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Just some simple thoughts tonight to help you during this time of year. This is a hard time for a lot of people. The darkness falls early. People feel a lot of despair, a lot of regret, a lot of looking back, as David said. Oh, be careful about looking back. But know this, you can get through it. You can dismiss it. You can let it go. Is there anyone that can say, preacher, I know that I need Jesus as my Savior. I know that I do. Preacher, would you help me tonight? I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Would you help me? If you'll just slip your hand up, put it right back down, I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you, I promise you. But I'll pray for you and help you out. Is there anyone tonight that could say, preacher, this little lesson tonight gives me some motivation and some things that I can do to help myself with some of this? Anybody in the room? Preacher, this gave me a little help tonight. I don't know if it'll help you. It helped me years ago when I came to this reality that sometimes my feelings are deceitful. Sometimes the depression inside of me is without cause. Once I learned that, I learned how to dismiss it. It made me a happier person. I hope that you'll find the ability to do that. I pray that you will. I pray that you will. Dear Father, I thank you for everybody in this room tonight. Lord, there's some people in this room, I know for a fact, going through hard things. Real things. Physical things. Lord, there are people in this room that have lost loved ones this week. There are people in this room that have people they love that are in hospitals and sick. And there are people in this room, Lord, going through personal life management issues that has brought despair. Lord, I realize that's just a part of life. And I hope that they'll realize that. But I hope they'll find your goodness and your grace and your guidance. Your loving kindness, as David says, during the midst of their pits of despair. Lord, I know that a lot of days we go through the check engine light that's faulty. And it ruins what could be a great day when there's really nothing wrong. And sometimes we succumb to that. And I pray that our people will diligently search their soul and discern from when they should be sad and when they should be upset and when they should feel worry. And then from times that it's just a faulty check engine light in their emotions. I pray that they'll grab a hold of this tonight. I want it to help them. Lord, be with all of our people. We're fixing to have prayer time and name a bunch of names. We had a lot of people sick. Oh, Lord, I've prayed a lot for people in the last 2 weeks, people that have been very ill. Lord, I pray that you'll just be with them and comfort them. There's few things more despairing than illness. Lord, I pray that you'll help them through it and people going through grief and all the things that are there. Lord, as we lift these names up, I pray that you will hear us and that your ear will be turned to us and that we can have a speedy answer from you in our spirit. In Jesus' name.